When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Sexton trying to get loose. He'll fire.
He knocks it down.
But Carl slammed it home. Garland upstairs.
Oh!
Sexton is fine. A thunderous dunk.
And Allen blocked the shot at the rim.
We are doing a recap of Media Day as well as discussing some of our expectations as preseason is upon us. On Saturday, we're going to have the Wine and Gold scrimmage. On Tuesday, the Cavs play a preseason game against the Chicago Bulls. But we're going to kick things off talking about Media Day. I had intended to upload the full audio to the podcast feed, but the quality was just a little bit off. I didn't feel great about it. So here we are discussing Media Day. And with me today is my co-host, Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how's it going, buddy?
Well, it was a great media day, I'll say. We got to talk to Darius Garland. We got to talk to Jared Allen, several other members of the Cavs. I mean, my word, if the partnership hadn't paid off yet, it did on Monday to me.
It was a really, really cool and surreal experience to be part of media day virtually here, to talk to some of the players, to get some insight. I mean, there wasn't any massive surprises with Media Day, which is kind of what you would expect going into it. But you can really kind of sense the energy. There's an excitement around this team. And I tweeted this out a little earlier today. I'm as excited as I've been basically since the summer of 2015. Like, this is the most excited I've been. My expectations are a lot lower than they were in 2015, obviously. But it really does feel like the start of a new era with the Cleveland Cavaliers. You got guys a little more comfortable in their skin. I think that was one of the big themes with Darius Garland. Colin Sexton, Isaac Okoro appear to have made progress over the offseason. Jared Allen looking big and strong. You got Evan Mobley, who doesn't have to carry the weight of the franchise on his shoulders with all this talent around him. There's just a lot to get excited about. And, Lauri Markkanen, another example. J.B. Bickerstaff and Darius Garland talking about playing up-tempo and getting threes. Like, this is all the stuff that gets me really excited. So I can't wait for this season to tip off.
Yeah, it's super exciting. And, I mean, we did no planning on this episode, by the way, gang. So strap in. but, you know, I think that, you know, what I am, what I left Media Day feeling is, Darius, they're ready to push Darius as the leader of the team, mm-hmm. and as kind of the straw that stirs the drink moving forward. You know, I left that feeling like every time you mentioned leader, every time you mentioned who has to step up, everyone's like, yep, Darius was going to be the guy for us. And like, it's kind of nice to know that, like, kind of what you're hearing, what we saw at the end of the last season, it all kind of starts to come together. And you kind of start to paint the idea that this is an organization that kind of knows that Darius is ready to take a step.
Yeah, and that's one of the benefits of this team getting together in early September here and working out together, practicing. Like, these guys have actually been around Garland after this offseason and have seen him stepping up as a vocal leader. Like, he was someone that you could tell, like, when you would see the road back and other kind of behind-the-scenes stuff, you'd get, like, glimpses of Fun Darius, the personality that he has. But now it seems like he's really stepped up. And Kobe Altman had talked about kind of his magnetism and the energy that he's providing to this team. But it doesn't feel like it's just the team saying, okay, well, it's year three, so you need to be the leader. It's him actually kind of stepping up and being that vocal leader, which is something that they really need. I mean, with Larry Nance not here, you're going to need a lot of guys stepping up and providing their own energy, providing that leadership. It's going to be a collective effort. And obviously, Garland being the franchise point guard, it seems like he's got a lot of responsibility on his shoulder. So it's exciting to see him stepping up in those ways.
Yeah, I mean, it just feels like it's time, you know. This doesn't feel forced. It doesn't feel like they organizationally came together to say, hey, this media day, let's talk a lot about Darius and make sure that everyone knows he's our star of the future. It was more just like, it just kind of felt very clear that he was the one who was, like, ready to take off. You know, it feels like they kind of are ready to say, Darius is our best player, and he's going to be the reason we succeed or fail this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, beyond that, like, you do still have guys that have already shown quite a bit in the league. Like, I think we have a tendency as Cavs fans and just the general discourse here to overlook Jared Allen and Colin Sexton in some ways as we head into the season, because they already have a lot of polish to their game. Sexton still needs to round things out, obviously, in the margins and figure out how to become a more impactful player. But when you look at it, he was putting up all-star caliber numbers last season. Jared Allen's already someone with a very polished game. So it's exciting to look at what Garland might bring to the table as a leader. And we hope that he steps up in those ways, because it's going to make things a lot easier for them. But part of the reason why a Garland leap this season is so exciting is because there are those good pieces in place. There is Jared Allen, who's a proven center that has chemistry with him. There's Colin Sexton, who's a high-level proven scorer in the NBA already that we know has chemistry with Garland. So it's about what he can do to make everybody else's lives better. And even someone like Lauri Markkanen, like, there's reasons to kind of temper expectations and times where he didn't necessarily live up to expectations in Chicago. But at the same time, he has been an effective player at times. Like, he's had stretches. The start of last season, he was a really impactful player, averaging nearly 20 points per game on great efficiency. Like, he's at least a proven commodity, more so than what we had for the majority of last season, which was young, promising players and guys that were taking a flyer on, whether it's Dean Wade, Lamar Stevens, Broderick Thomas. Some of those guys stepped up, but we're still talking about a different caliber of player when you get to a Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. I mean, it does feel like this is the year. You know, you mentioned a lot of reasons why this team is going to take that step forward. I think the looming thing that's going to hang over this team isn't leadership, isn't talent, isn't, I don't even think it's fit, really. I think it is just age. You know, the fact of the matter is, you know, they are still young. Mm-hmm. There is a counter to that, which is that their young guys aren't so young anymore.
Yeah.
You know, they're not counting on 3-4 rookies.
Well, they are very young. They just have some experience now.
Well, yeah. That's what I meant by aren't so young. You know, that you can be a young 20 and you can be an old 20. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the Cavs are full of players who are approaching old 20-year-olds, you know, like, that have gone through some stuff in the league so far. And you hope that translates. I don't think the rest of the league very much thought very much of this offseason. Mm-hmm. But I do think that it is, you know, there is a talent. There is a lot of talent here. And there will be things that kind of keep it from surfacing. There are some fit concerns. There's some spacing concerns. There's some, is Evan Mobley ready to really help concerns?
Yep.
But like it was hard not to feel the energy coming out of that media day.
Yeah, and I think when you look back to last year's media day, obviously there wasn't the pre-camp camp or anything like that. It was a rush start to the season. But I feel like the expectations were lower. Now, Colby Altman didn't want to put a number of wins on this season or an expectation that way, but did acknowledge, hey, we have an eye towards the postseason. And then when you go down to the actual players, it's pretty clear these guys are fed up with losing. Their goal is to make the playoffs. And it's not just their goal coming into the season. I think when you look over the kind of the body of this offseason here, you've got guys that have been in town constantly. They've been putting in a lot of work with the understanding that, hey, there's a big mountain for us to climb. We have to overcome our inexperience. We need to be at a higher level than we have been in the past. We can't just count on reinforcements coming in that are just going to help carry us to the playoffs and we can kind of figure things out on our way there. I think there's been an understanding with the young core that they need to elevate their games to get the Cavs there, because the biggest path to actually making the playoffs or at least getting in that play-in mix is going to be the young guys and the internal improvement and establishing some consistency.
Can I say this, though? When I talked about kind of the them being an old 20, an old 21, an old 22, mm-hmm. and, you know, Billy in the chat just mentioned, you know, saying that, you know, watching DG be so open and social compared to how quiet he was his rookie year. And you know what else I really felt that about was Sexton. Sexton was like holding court.
Oh, yeah.
Up there. Did you notice that?
Seems
that
really confident.
He seems super confident and super comfortable in his own skin. Like, I feel like the man's got some media training or just got, you know, older, which happens where you start to get more confident and comfortable. It feels like a team of people who kind of know where they stand for the most part. I mean, with one pretty large exception that we can talk about later. But, like, among the kids are starting to sound like they are owning the responsibility now. And at least, you know, and maybe that's a flawed thing to link up their confidence with the media versus, you know, their readiness to lead the team. But it did feel noteworthy, the confidence between that backcourt, especially like just talking to the media and like they kind of have like a no, we're good at this energy.
They have that energy. There's like a kind of an unspoken confidence that you can feel with them. Like you do also hear it when they're talking and just how comfortable in their own skin they are. But I feel like them having all this time together, working out together, playing together, there's a confidence that they're better than expectations. And it's kind of fun because we've talked about how we wanted this team to be more than the sum of their parts. And that is something that we hope for the season. And it really does feel like this is a group that likes playing together, that cares about each other, that wants to overcome kind of the odds and to make some noise this season. And that's just really refreshing to me.
And can I say this? One thing that I think some people are getting a little antsy about with Colby Altman is some of the big numbers, the big extensions, the long term that the team could be locking itself into. Jarrett for, it was 5 years?
Yep.
Right? Yeah, 5 years for Jarrett.
Laurie
for four. You know, the kids are going to be here a minute.
Yeah.
And Darius and Isaac and Evan.
And Kobe mentioned there's mutual interest in a Sexton extension, which I think would make us feel good.
And the Sexton extension is looming. And one way to look at that is, oof, this is a lot of money to commit to a core that hasn't won yet. But it does in terms of, you know, we know that people like kind of knowing where they stand. When they're comfortable and locked in, they feel like they're going to be able to succeed. And this kind of looks like a group that's like, we might be together for 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like they're giving off vibes of like, you know, obviously not even close on the talent scale, but like you almost think about those like almost collegiate OKC teams. With you know, Westbrook, Harden, and Durant, and obviously the talent's not there. They don't have those true blue chippers, like three, you know, top 100 all-time players.
Yeah, two with Garland and Mobley.
Yeah, there's only two of them.
Sexton could get in that mix. You know, we'll see what Isaac does. Laurie can establish himself as one of the best 7-foot three-point shooting big men.
There's only like five top 150 players, so it's not the same at all. But you know, like there is this like, hey, we're gonna be here a minute, vibes of like, you know, these guys are getting comfortable with one another in a way that like, it's just, I don't know, you know how I feel about this. It's just when you're playing the asset game, Justin, and you're taking in transient bodies, even good dudes like JaVale McGee.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you knew he wasn't going to be around long. You knew a lot of these players that have been cycling through this roster the past couple of years are more about the pieces they're bringing in than about the players. And it's finally kind of like, okay, we got our crew. And this crew is either going to succeed or not, and that'll, you know, determine, you know, the story that's written about this Cavs team moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, at the very least, they know that they're in it together. And, you know, it's sink or swim time. And it's kind of fun to see, like, them kind of gelling around that.
Yeah, and it's funny. I was listening to Kate Fagan earlier today. They were kind of discussing the vaccination and the reaction to media day. And one of the things that they were mentioning is how when you look at the NBA, you don't get a lot of situations where it really feels like players are in it for the team. Like, there's a lot of individualism in today's NBA, and I'm not naive enough to think that this is always going to be the case, but right now it does feel like, hey, this is a group of young guys that maybe haven't got a fair shake. Like, you look at Lauri Markkanen, things didn't work out in Chicago, he's looking for a fresh start. Garland and Sexton have been doubted a lot. Now they're looking to prove themselves. Isaac Okoro, you look at some of these redrafts, and despite what he did defensively, because he didn't put up the offensive numbers, he gets overlooked, and he's looking to establish himself. Jared Allen's looking to establish himself and prove that he was worth that extension, and it seems like they're all working together towards something, which, I mean, like I said, I'm not naive enough to think that that's the way it's always going to be with this group, but it's kind of refreshing. It takes me back to kind of the teams that I fell in love with as I was first establishing my fandom in the NBA. It's I'm excited to see what this team's going to do, because pass or fail, we're going to learn a lot about how good these players are, how good JB Bickerstaff is at optimizing these lineups and getting the most out of them. It actually feels like there's tools and weapons and options available this season. And, I mean, it sounds like the plan is for this team to finally play up-tempo basketball, which we've almost never seen. Even when LeBron was here, like, they would get a steal or a block or something and get out in transition. But every other occasion, they were walking the ball up the floor. I want up-tempo basketball, Carter.
I'll believe it when I see it on this one, Justin.
I'm saying that I'm excited that that's the plan.
I don't want to be the buzzkill on a fun podcast. But, you know, like, everyone knows, every coach says it, and then, you know, nine of them actually do it.
Well, here's the thing is, if we know that that's the stated goal, that's something that we can measure the season against,
and
right?
And that's like that is what's nice. And we did this with the three-point shooting last year, which mm-hmm. was, hey, like, do they even want this? Or do they think that, do they, you know, in our opinion, wrongly think they can bully their way to wins? And then JB was like, no, we got to shoot more threes. And we're like, mm-hmm. okay, let's see how they do against that stated goal. We know what the coaching staff wants here.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And when we talk about kind of where guys see themselves and what they expect from this season, I'm not expecting it all to come to fruition, but it gives us a better idea of what those expectations are and where they're falling short. Like, the pieces actually do seem to fit well together this season, which hasn't been the case for a while. I get a sense of the team that they're trying to build, and that's exciting, right? Because now, if things aren't working out, we're going to have a better ability to analyze that, figure out where they're coming up short, what they can do to rectify those situations. And that's exciting. Like, I have my personal thoughts and feelings on every one of these subjects and their likelihood. But ultimately, like, right now, it's all about expectation setting, which I think right now, I think it's realistic to expect this team to compete for the play-in. Like, I truly feel like they do have the talent, and it's just going to be a matter of whether or not they play at that level consistently enough to actually make it into that play-in conversation.
I mean, let's just go there, because, you know, JB neglected to put chose not to put a win total mm-hmm. on the board, which is smart if you're a coach.
Yeah.
Said that they are playing with an eye towards the postseason. You know, the reality is, play-in is not that hard to make. Okay, you got the Cavs have to jump Toronto, who lost their best player.
Washington.
Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of, you know, Washington, Boston, Indiana, Charlotte, or New York. Those are probably the ones that are most, you know, in reach.
Yep.
So, like, you don't have to jump that many people. And it's not like they were that far out before, you know, everything went to hell from a health perspective.
Yeah.
You know, all I'm saying is I am kind of at the point where it's like I want them competing for a play-in spot. Or I'm going to be disappointed by the season. And maybe my cat's attacking my dog in the back, so that's
fine. I see that.
poor Todd gets a raw deal, man. The cat just comes up and like just whaps him in the face, and he's just like, "Hey." I think that like maybe there should be a difference between goals and expectations, because I know their goal should be to make the play-in, but like I'm almost at the point where I'm like, if you're not expecting to make the play-in, like, what are you even trying to do here? Like,
right.
Like that should be the expectation. And I think I'll be disappointed if they don't make it. Like, I've been kind of talking a more measured game as of late, where I'm like, you know, it's going to be tough to make it. I just want to see them get better. I want to see them get closer. And I'm like, no, I expect them to be in that mix. And if they're not, that'd be a bummer.
That would be a bummer, and I think it would cause some reevaluation. And I think one of the biggest things, and I'm not going to go too far into detail here because I've done it on past podcasts, but you look at some of these teams and I don't know if they have the same desire to make the play-in or the playoffs that the Cavs do, right? Like if Toronto's in that mix, are they going to be buyers at the deadline? I feel confident saying that, hey, when you have kind of that young core that you feel good about in place, you can start making those supplemental moves. Like if they're in the mix for the plan, maybe this is a team that gets aggressive at the trade deadline and that first round pick next year becomes a little easier to move because, hey, you know, we are where we hope to be, that these young guys have us in the, maybe they're already in the play-in position and you're looking to solidify that or move up into that 7-8 range, right? Like I think there's more of a desire to be better and to turn things around in Cleveland than some of these other teams where you look at Washington, maybe like things are kind of clicking, but they're basically made up of, outside of Bradley Beal, they're made up of role players that would probably fit well in other situations, but I don't know if they can be the straw that stirs the drink. There's teams that Charlotte, yeah, they were better than the Cavs last season, but it wouldn't surprise me for Darius Garland to be better than him. And I've already said that I think the Cavs are going to be better than the Hornets next year because they got younger. And I just don't know if they have as many great pieces as the Cavs do. That's probably a bit of a homer take. But you know what? I do think that that's realistic if things click.
By the way, I want to just call out Cisco 2104 who got in the chat and asked when the Wine and Gold scrimmage is. Justin, it's Saturday, baby.
Saturday at 1. We should have done our little bit of research there. I assume so.
We would never do any research. That's never the answer.
I assume that it's being streamed. In the past, I've been able to find them. So I'm very hopeful. I think there's obviously a lot of excitement around this group. So if it's not streamed, I'm going to be a little bit disappointed. But if not, Tuesday, man, taking on the Chicago Bulls.
Oh, man, it just is crazy to see it this close, you know? Like, it just feels like, you know, Summer League is like, it really, like, when preseason starts, it really, like, puts into such stark relief how not real Summer League is.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, Summer League is this, like, you know, like, oasis in the desert in the most literal sense in Vegas, but, like,
It's far enough removed from real basketball that you can trick yourself into thinking it resembles real basketball.
Oh, that I've got my Cavs fixed, but like this is really when the Cavs fix starts.
Right.
And it's going to be so fun to kind of see, like, we haven't watched Evan Mobley play with Darius Garland yet.
Nope. We haven't seen him play with Sexton. We haven't.
Like we haven't seen so many exciting things and like, it's just going to be, we haven't seen Laurie in a Cavs uniform yet. We haven't seen Ricky in a Cavs uniform yet. Like, you know,
there's a lot of new faces.
I don't want to attack friend of the pod, Evan Damerel, but I do because he craps on us all the time on his podcast.
That is true.
So especially me, frankly, and you know, no verification, Evan. I do want to actually take kind of issue with something Evan said recently, and he's said it both on the pod and said it on his Facebook news platform, which you should absolutely go subscribe to.
That's Write Down Euclid for those.
Write Down Euclid. Thank you. He kind of mentioned like that he feels like the Cavs kind of kept the core of the roster intact, or like didn't change much. I don't remember the exact phrasing he used, but the general basically premise that they ran was it like back. That they ran it back, and I just don't know if I agree. Like three out of the top eight have probably changed in the rotation, and adding Rubio, Laurie, and Evan, one new starter. What I don't really understand is the framing of it as some kind of risk, because I don't know what their other options were that were like who was on the table to go like consolidate these assets for that would make us go, okay, now the Cavs are solid. I'm gonna challenge Evan on his next podcast, and I'm gonna listen, Evan, to explain that, because like I don't get it. It feels like this team feels different to me in a pretty major way.
Yeah, and JB Bickerstaff did disclose that the plan is to go with a 10-man rotation and kind of have some guys that are specialists that you either cycle in or out. We'll see who's playing well. Media Day did, it kind of struck me that, wow, there's more new faces here than I kind of realized. Like, you see each transaction kind of trickle in throughout the summer, and you're like, okay, yeah, that's a new addition or whatever. But you look at it in a 10-man rotation, it's very likely that four of those are new. Like, if we're assuming Mobley, Laurie, Rubio, and maybe Valentine are within that rotation. Like,
I don't think Valentine's in the rotation, but go ahead.
Well, if it's not Valentine, then maybe it's Windler, who might as well be new. Might as well be a new piece, or it's Jetty. Like, either way, it's not new. it's within three to four of that 10-man rotation is going to be different, and the first two guys off the bench.
Billy just got in the chat, by the way, and just said, having a backup point guard in general makes the entire team seem different. And I think that is very accurate to me, where I'm like, just like having someone out there that can like remotely orchestrate the offense, and even having a guy behind him that can do that makes the team feel different. I think Evan's off on this one.
Yeah, and obviously I think the main point is that the core is still the same. You still have the young guys coming together. I think basically the only real core piece that left was Larry Nance Jr.
And the only piece, and then, you know, obviously Mobley, but like that's not a blow up by any means.
Yeah, you would expect Mobley to maybe be the guy that steps in and kind of fulfills that Nance Jr. role, but that was the one kind of major core piece that's no longer there. And then Laurie comes in as the third big. So you're two guys that are basically going to be playing near starters minutes, whether it's in the starting lineup or off the bench, and Rubio and Laurie. Like, they're going to be very significant contributors. So I'm excited to see what that is. I was going to say, what do you feel like the 10-man rotation is? Because I actually do think that I would give a nod to either Valentine or Windler to be the backup three. Maybe that's just me being hopeful, looking for some change there. But what do you think that 10-man rotation is going to be?
Darius, Colin, Okoro, Mobley, Allen in the starting lineup. I do not think there is a snowball's chance in hell this team starts Lauri Markkanen. I know that they have declined to announce what they're going to do there. Maybe I'm way wrong here, but in my opinion, this is a team that has preferred to start its young core members.
Yeah, and
even
in the
when
event
they're not quite ready yet, they push Sexton in early, they push Darius in early, they pushed Isaac in early. I just would be surprised if anyone, if that's anyone but the starting five. First, I'd like you to react to that before I continue with my 10.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would say if Laurie were to start at the power forward, it would change up the rotation a bit. Like, I think
it's actually easier to start Laurie.
You think it's easier to start Laurie?
Yeah, because then you just put Mobley in, whoever.
So you have him sub out. Yeah, you sub him out for Allen, maybe.
Or Laurie, depending on who's out there. You know, you can be a little bit more tactical with it, because Mobley is the only true 4-5 of those three.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, Jared, if he's playing, he's the five. If Laurie's playing, he should be the four.
Yeah, I guess in my 2K tinkering and kind of my thought process, I like starting Mobley and Allen together, because then you bring in Laurie for Mobley, you bring in Rubio for Sexton, then you have those guys check in to take out Garland and Allen, and then you're kind of running a second unit that contains Rubio, Sexton, Windler or Valentine or Jetty, along with Laurie and Mobley.
You've been playing more 2K than me, bro.
Yeah, along with Laurie and Mobley. Like, I think that that would really work well, and I like the way that those rotations kind of feel. But, you know, either way, like, I think Laurie's going to split his minutes with both of those big men, and Mobley's going to effectively be the backup power or backup center. Maybe we see a little bit of Kevin Love there with Mobley as well. But what? Let's hear you continue the rest of your time. Who's your second five?
It'll be Rubio. It'll be Laurie. It'll be Kevin. It will be...
Drum roll.
And it gets tight here. I think it's got to be the Dylan.
There was reports today. Dylan Windler looking healthy, moving well, running all over the place, buddy.
I think it's Dylan, and then it just gets... It's tough, man. You know? Mm-hmm. Like, who's your 10th?
I guess 10th would kind of depend on
matchup. Is it Jetty or Dean Wade? Because, like, the thing with Wade, like, Wade probably is the most solid of the group past that top eight, but it's just a glut there. And I just, you know, Dean Wade at the three is just worse than Dean Wade at the four. There's some diminishing returns there. So, like, I feel like Dean Wade has earned the minutes the most. I just don't know if the roster is constructed in a way that will enable that for him.
Yeah, it's tricky too, because I think as long as Kevin Love is healthy, bought in, and contributing, you're probably going to see more of a nine-man rotation than a 10, right? Like in games where Kevin Love doesn't play, yeah, it probably opens up more opportunities for a Dean Wade, maybe a Lamar Stevens, Jetty Osman, whoever that may be. But when... If
Lamar
Kevin Love
could be my 10th. I think I could be okay with Lamar in a shooting-heavy lineup.
Yeah, I think... I would probably assume Denzel. I think just he's going to get opportunities and whatnot.
We shouldn't rule out Jetty. I know Jetty had a nightmare year last year, but Jetty has shown at his better his upswings more than Denzel has shown in his NBA career.
That's true.
While Denzel has the shine, you know, the new car smell, you know, I
Denzel
still think
has shown more on the defensive end of the floor, though. And I think that that's a big thing. Like, if you look at him pre-Boylan, that last season where he shot well from three, he was playing pretty good defense. Like, I think that's the version of Denzel. Like, if he wants to earn minutes, which he's talked about feeling healthy now, finally, that he thinks that he can contribute on both ends of the floor and kind of feels good about his role. Like, if he wants to earn those minutes, that's the way he's going to do it, by contributing on both ends of the floor.
But remember, Jetty is not a good defensive player. I think we all know that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Jetty had... like, when he got to play that ninth, tenth man role, that chaotic energy he brought in that role was, like, that was encouraging and exciting. And he got overexposed in the last 2-3 years. He had just a truly terrible year last year that I still think we need to treat as an outlier until it's proven otherwise, because that was by far the worst year of his career.
But how much of a space is there for that if we're assuming that a lot of those second unit minutes are going to include Rubio, Sexton, maybe even Mobley? Like, you've got playmaking guys that you're going to funnel it through. Well,
maybe he just gets to be a spot shooter and someone who is a runner in transition, because he's a very solid transition player.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't, you know, rule it out, but he can be a gap shooter. I'm not saying it can't happen, but I'm saying it's just as likely that it happens as Denzel getting the minutes.
Yeah, I would just say that historically speaking, when Jetty is playing really well, he has the ball in his hand. So that point, Jetty seems to make him feel the most confident and, like, kind of the most comfortable on the basketball court, where there just may not be the opportunity for him to play in that role with this team if things are working well, which is why you might go with Denzel as just kind of a spot-up guy, someone that isn't going to handle the ball as much.
I think I'd rather just have Lamar take those minutes and just make sure he's not playing at the same time as Rubio and Jared Allen.
Yeah, I that's could certainly be the case.
If you're looking for a 10th man and Dylan is showing anything,
I was going to say best case scenario is Dylan Windler, because
ideally Dylan has the year that the Cavs have been hoping he'd have, stays healthy, hits threes, generates gravity, and it becomes very clear that there's no reason to have a 10-man rotation.
Yeah.
I think a 10-man rotation is actually an acknowledgement of JB going, I don't know what I'm going to get from 9 and 10.
Right. The backup three night. Is the biggest question on this roster. That is by far the one unknown here.
And Dylan is one of the only players on this team that can play two and the three.
Yeah. And I mean, when you look at how he played when he was playing well last year, he did everything well. Like he did all the little things. He was making the right passes. He was playing good team basketball. The shots weren't always falling, but then you had the stretch where he made 9 threes in a row and that kind of brought the averages up. But he at least was playing really solid team basketball. So I think when you're looking at best case scenarios, it's when we're taking that position. But until then, it's an open competition. And like you, I do think it's a smart point to not rule out Jetty Osmond, that, hey, guys can make adjustments. Maybe after last season, it was a bit of a learning opportunity. Okay, I'm not going to be the starter. I have to have a different mentality coming in off the bench. There's probably not a lot of situations around the league where I am going to start. So I need to learn how to be a little more comfortable off the ball and to function well in that role. We shouldn't rule that out, right? But I do like the fact that there is options, right? Like, you have multiple names you can go through. You can see a scenario where Lamar Stevens works out. You can see a situation where Dylan Windler stays healthy. You can see Denzel Valentine returning to form a little bit in a new situation. Like, there are options. And ultimately, like, if the core guys are playing really well, it reduces the need for these guys to be major contributors or to make a big, big difference on the court. And it becomes, hey, just don't mess up when you're out there, which if that is what they need, then yeah, I might agree with you that maybe Lamar Stevens gets the nod because you know he's going to play really sound basketball.
I don't think he's going to mess up. He might tank your spacing, but he isn't going to mess up. And like, by the way, you want to know how excited I am and like how I'm in pure optimism mode right now, is the Cavs tweeted out a picture of him going like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, did Lamar hitting some threes in practice?
Oh, boy.
It was the dumbest thought I've had all week. but, you know, like, that's kind of the stuff I'm thinking about is, like, you know, if they're playing a 4 and a 5 that can shoot with Darius, Lamar gets so much easier to play, and he... Honestly, like, I wouldn't say he was as good as Dean Wade was last year, because Dean was really good in some games. Mm-hmm. But there were games where Lamar really made an impact. And, like, if you want to, like, obviously you're not making roster decisions for Lamar Stevens, but he'll benefit from those kind of lineups.
Yeah, and especially, like, if Rubio is shooting well enough, like he's had seasons where, okay, it's low 30s, maybe 36% from three. Sexton's out there, Laurie's out there, Mobley's out there stretching the floor. Like, I don't know if you saw the videos of Mobley shooting threes. The form looks a little bit better. It's still slow, but I think the most important thing for Mobley is that guys aren't giving him the Draymond treatment where, hey, we're just going to sit back in the paint. We're going to dare you to shoot. If he's got a consistent shot that's just slow, yeah, guys are going to actually have to close out. They're going to have to go guard him on the perimeter, and then the ball handling comes into play. He can blow by guys. You can have some spacing. He's a threat in that way. So that's encouraging. If that's what you have, with the four other guys, yeah, you can play a Lamar Stevens. You can feel a little bit better about that.
Yeah, it's just going to be a matter of that gravity, because, you know, Mobley can't be just a conceptual shooter that might draw some attention. He needs to actually have someone who feels like they can't abandon him.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying that Lamar at the three will be the way it plays out, but I certainly wouldn't rule it out just given the way the rest of the offseason is gone.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think the last thing that we should touch on before we wrap this thing up is Kevin Love, because this is the first time that we've really heard from him in a while. He seemed a little, maybe a hair surly at Media Day, but at the same time, if I was in his shoes, I probably wouldn't want to be sitting there fielding questions.
It's like such a no-win spot for him. Like I felt some tension of like, think about like what an annoying thing it is to have to go at a media day. Like, I'm gonna be in a good mood. I'm gonna be nice. Like, it's just like, I don't think I suck.
I understand that the team has made heavy investments at my position, but at the same time, like, I'm going to try to do my best to bring energy and whatnot. Like, Kevin Love said the right things, and I gotta admit,
I do think
like,
he said the right things.
He said the right things, and I gotta admit, like, it's nice to see kind of like in the highlights, like him having fun with the guys and whatnot. I don't know if you saw the video of him throwing
the lob to Laurie.
I'm telling you,
I don't think he's a bad hang. Like, people act like the toxicity is permanent, and like, we know it's not. Mm-hmm. We know that he's had a few bad moments that are very public and some that were private. But you know, it's not like, you know, I've always appreciated the way when he has been hurt and when he's on the road with the team and on the floor, like being super hyped for them when they do well. Like, he's a good cheerleader. He's a good supporter of the young guys. So, you know, I do not think it is so outrageous that he could be a positive force for this team. I feel like I got ahead of that zag early, where I'm like, listen, if Kevin's healthy, he's still really good.
Yeah.
We saw it in key moments last year when he was feeling himself. And to have that guy be your fourth big is pretty exciting. And like, yeah, he's saying the right things. Yeah, he probably wants to get on out of here and kind of move on to a place where he can compete and actually get minutes, because there's a difference between, you know, being a, you know, 10th man on the Nets and being the eighth, ninth man on the Cavs right now. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, it does feel like he's coming in with at least saying the right things. And I'm willing to give it a shot, man. Maybe call me naive, but I think this is going to be all right.
Yeah.
If it's not, he'll go home.
It's a different situation because you're not counting on him in the ways you have in past years, which, you know what? There's two sides to that coin, right? Like, it's nice that you're not counting on him, because if he does miss time, yeah, you've got other options. He's the likely the fourth big here. But at the same time, it takes some pressure off of his shoulders. Now, like, he can just kind of be, hey, I'm the vibes
guy. You can be a ball player.
I can be a little bit of the leadership guy to the young guys and continuing the mentoring that I've done there. But hey, Darius is stepping up as a leader. We have all these guys that are contributing and being, as Kevin Gelly said, fountains of energy rather than drains, right? So it's an opportunity for him to just focus on basketball. And especially as he rehabs these injuries and kind of gets more comfortable, yeah, starting off with a lower minute load might be a great thing for him to help him get comfortable. And if he earns minutes like anyone else on this team, I would expect him to get more, right? So it's you know what? I'm hopeful. Like, I'm not expecting a ton out of him this season, but I want things to work out, because at the end of the day, like, I still find myself being really appreciative of what Love has done for this organization, obviously being a part of the championship. I want one of these situations with guys that won the title for the Cavs to work out well. And if you have like a little bit of a good vibe situation where he's coming in off the bench, he's contributing as the fourth big, helping out with the depth, because we saw last year, depth is really important to have. I don't blame JB Bickerstaff for being like, yeah, I'm not going to sit here and act like depth is a problem. I'm hopeful that he can contribute, because I do think that there is an opportunity and a need for him if he is bringing what he can bring to the table. And maybe it helps showcase him as well that, hey, he can still be a contributor, and that helps him achieve at least the goals that he's kind of stated at times publicly, with whether it be the interview with Chris Haynes and whatnot, where he gets to go to a different situation. But as long as they're together, I'm going to hope and root for things to work out, because ultimately, like, I'm a fan of the team, and good basketball player playing good basketball for the Cavs
legend
is a very good thing. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I want the good vibes back, and I don't think it's just wishful thinking that makes me think it might happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, ultimately, like, it's if those are your four bigs and they're contributing, like, you can mix and match. You can play with those guys. There's a lot of ways to make that fit. I would say the only one combination I don't want to see is Laurie and Love. Like,
I wouldn't mind it in the right circumstance. I wouldn't mind it.
You are a sicko. Normally, I'm a sicko on this podcast.
I love the idea of just bombing away with a Darius Love Laurie lineup against a team that maybe doesn't have enough, that has a lineup that doesn't have much punch.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, you can go five out in a major way with that group. I mean, the defensive rating will be 130, but maybe you get up to 140 on offense.
You never know. A little bit of run and gun. Actually, that reminds me of one thing I want to bring up before we wrap this up. JB did tease the possibility of Garland, Rubio, Sexton playing together. A little three-point guard
action. No, thanks. No, thanks. That's fine.
You know what? Maybe I'm the sicko.
I don't really want to see that.
See, you wanted Laurie and Love. I want that. I want a little three-point guard action with Mobley and Allen. You know, the trees and the guards. Let's make it work. Let's get weird. Let's test some things out. You know what? I'd be okay with that in certain situations. It worked in OKC when they had Paul Schroeder, SGA. You never know. It might be something.
No, thanks.
It might be something that works. Maybe you get a little weird with it and show that off in the preseason. How about that?
I'm pretty cool with never seeing it.
Ye of little faith. I can't believe you'd be on Laurie and Love and not the three guards. Guards, baby. We've at least seen that work in the NBA.
I've seen enough unbelievably small Cavaliers lineups in my day. I'm okay with it.
You're being unbelievably small, but you know what? It's good to be back. It's good that we're on the verge of seeing basketball again, especially Cavs basketball. I cannot wait for it. For everyone that tuned in on YouTube, we really do appreciate it. Make sure you like and subscribe to Cavs YouTube channel to make sure that you're not missing us going live. Click the little bell. It gives you an alert when we're doing one of these live podcasts, and you can tune in. Give us your comments. Carter will read it because he's better at multitasking than I am. If you're listening via podcast, you can support us the old school way. Leave a rating, leave a review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, and help cook those books. If you want to be part of the Chase Downs exclusive Discord chat, send a screenshot of that review to chasedownpod@gmail.com. However you choose to support us, we really do appreciate it. Make sure you guys are staying safe out there. And until next time, go Cavs. Want to be part of the Chase Downs exclusive Discord chat? Send a screenshot of that review to chasedownpod@gmail.com. However you choose to support us, we really do appreciate it. Make sure you guys are staying safe out there. And until next time, go Cavs.